Right, I have a question for you. And I don't expect you to tell me the answer. It's a rhetorical question, really. But I would like you to think about it. How generous are you? For example, if you received £1,000 tomorrow, how much, if any, would you give away? I'll let you think about that. Now, if I say that rather than £1,000, you received £1,000,000, does that make any difference?
Yes.
Again, think about it. How much, if any, would you give away? There are all sorts of questions that go with this. Do you tell anybody that you've got the money? If you do give it away, who do you give it to? Such questions present us with an interesting challenge. And if we answer them honestly, they're probably quite revealing. But let's move on. If we need an example of generous giving, I think we should look at the generous giving of God to us. And perhaps the best way to focus on this is to focus on the three persons of the Trinity. God as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So let's start with God the Father. How is he generous to us? All we have, all we are, has been given to us by God our Father, our Creator. All we enjoy about life has been given to us by God. As Paul says in his letter to the Colossians, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him." I imagine most of us here enjoy nature. These past few weeks, despite the rain, we have been able to enjoy the amazing colours of autumn. The leaves dancing as they fall. The vibrancy of an array of berries. I hope you're impressed with my poetry here. The crisp crackle of fallen leaves underfoot, scampering squirrels and darting birds. Soon it will be winter. Bare trees will reveal their amazing individual structures, skies in many shades of grey and pink and gold and blue, sharp frost dusting all with diamond-like sparkle. And that's before we've even touched on the subjects of snow, wind, and rain. I could, of course, go on to talk of the freshness of spring and the glory of summer. I could talk about other parts of the world with different climates and terrain, mountains, rivers, and deserts. I could talk about the enormous variety of animal and plant life, the oceans, the moon, the stars, the universe. I won't. There's no need. Our world is amazing, and God our Father created it. What is more, he created us so that we might enjoy his wonderful creation. And he gave us the faculties needed, our sense of sight, hearing, touch, smell and taste, our capacity to think and create, and our ability to travel, in order that we may enjoy his gifts of life to the full. But you know, actually, we begin to get something of the sense of the character and nature of God by just considering his generosity in how he's woven into our existence, whether we love him or not, certain things that are delightful that don't need to be delightful. We could talk about copulation, but I won't go there. So let's talk about eating. We could have been made to rely on a single type of fuel, like a car relies on petrol or a cow eats grass. But think of the sheer variety of our diet and the amazing abundance of God's provision. Think of our taste buds, our sense of smell that ensures we enjoy our food sensually, and how the food itself contains the highly complex elements required for our well-being. Moving on, what about ourselves? Each one of us, an individual in appearance, in personality, in aptitude, in qualities. We could have been clones, but no, like all his creation, our diversity is amazing. Just look at ourselves in this room. How diverse are we? What is more, in his lavish generosity, God gives us free will. He loves us unconditionally, and he wants us to love him. But he gives us the freedom of choice to make that decision for ourselves. When humanity was willful and made wrong choices, God did not go back to the drawing board and start again. Like the father he is, he reprimanded and sent in teachers to guide, prophets to warn. Even when stubbornly resisted, God did not respond with destruction, but instead he sent his most precious and definitive gift. He sent his son to save them. To save us. As Jesus himself says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The abundant generosity of God is seen in him sending us his son, who he sends not to condemn us for the mess we've made of things, but rather to show us a way out of the mire in which we are trapped, a way out from under our failures, our shortcomings, and our rebellion. As a parent, and I'm looking at Kirsty and Daniel, you'll relate to this, I cannot imagine sacrificing my child for others. It's a cost too high. But that is the sacrifice that our God the Father made for us. That's how much he loves us. That's how generous he is to us. So let's now consider in the Godhead, God the Son. In what way is God the Son generous to us? Well, first he took on mortal flesh. And he came in the person of Jesus Christ, living amongst us as one of us. Not amongst the privileged and wealthy, but amongst the poor and the humble. Next, he lived the life we should live, but do not. We rebel. He submitted. We put up barriers between God and ourselves. He spent intimate time with God. We disobey. He obeyed. We live for self. He lived for the Father. We falter. He succeeded. He had no hint of sin, no darkness, no shadow. He lived in the world, but he remained free, uncontaminated, uncompromised. Jesus never failed. There was no one like him. He was perfect, obeying even to death. We need to be clear about our understanding of this. Jesus laid down his life for us. Yes, Jesus was arrested and murdered by men, but he was not killed via the authority and power of man. It was not the authority of Pilate and the power of the high priest guard that took Jesus' life. Rather, it was Jesus, the Son of God, who allowed himself to be killed in order that mankind could be reconnected with God. As Jesus tells us in today's gospel reading, he came so that we might know God as he knew and knows God, so that we can be one with God as he is one with God, so that we can be part of the kingdom of God and know God's glory. No one took Jesus' life. In his generosity, as Son of God, he gave it as an offering for us, that we could become children of God. And even then, having conquered evil, having conquered death, he did not leave us alone. But as he returned to glory to sit in his rightful place with God the Father, he sent us the Holy Spirit to take his place, to be our guide, our comforter, our friend. So we come to the third person of the Godhead. We come to God the Holy Spirit. As you know, the Holy Spirit does much in lavishing generosity upon us as children of God, bringing gifts from heaven on high. In his first letter to the Corinthians, Paul explains, "Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." It is through the Holy Spirit that we receive that amazing gift of faith. But we may also receive other gifts. Paul lists those gifts: the gifts of wisdom, knowledge, the ability to heal, to perform miraculous powers, to prophesy, the ability to distinguish the truth from the false, the ability to speak in tongues or to interpret such speaking. You may have one of these gifts. You may have more than one. You may have gifts not listed here. But once we have accepted Christ as our Saviour, these gifts are given to us by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us. And how do we know that we've received these such gifts? Well, others will perceive a difference in us, for we will reveal the fruits of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Probably not all at once, but in various degrees. It's all a work in progress. Some of us have made more progress than others. Some of us are still struggling. Now, I want to give you just a few moments here to consider God's goodness and generosity towards you. Reflect on how much he loves you for the unique person you are, and how precious you as an individual are to him. Be aware that God loves you with unconditional, sacrificial love. Count your blessings. Think specific things. How has God dealt generously with you? Just give you a moment or so to think. Thank you. I'm just going to finish with a prayer. And if you agree with it, please say Amen in a big voice at the end. God, our Creator, Father and Friend, source of every blessing and giver of every good gift, we thank you and praise you for your generosity to us. We thank you and praise you for all the joys of love and of life, and the everyday blessings which we receive from you. We thank you and praise you for the revelation of yourself in our Lord Jesus Christ, and every glimpse we have of your nature. We thank you and praise you for your Holy Spirit working with us, within us, guiding and comforting. Help us to express our thanks not only in prayer and praise, but also through the lives we lead. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.